Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who sometimes remember to plug their microphones in. And this is one of those times. From the jump, there's no special like moment in the podcast where the audio is going to get much, much clearer when, like a dumbass, I look down. I should also just say it's all directly in front of my face. It's not like the cables are under the back of something that it could very easily be unplugged. No, it's like literally inches from my face, directly in my eyesight, my eye line. And we got it today. So it's going to be a good episode, everybody. It's going to be a good episode.
It is.
My name is Matt Alano Martin. With me as always is Dwight, always plugs his microphone in, Simmons. Dwight, how are you doing, man?
You know, other shows have producers and other people to take care of this stuff. We're more of a run and gun type of thing. Yeah. Sometimes you forget to do the necessary things.
Oh, you want that fucking, if you want that fake ass Drake bullshit, you can listen to other podcasts. But if you want that real, that Yasiin Bey, like keep it gritty, keep it real kind of podcast, then you listen to us. Okay. That's what we do.
That is 100% accurate. No notes. No notes. I actually don't look like a White Walker today. Sometimes because my ring light has so many different settings.
And
sometimes it's just like it'll adjust if it's a gloomy day. Mm-hmm. And it'll make me look like Ashy Larry. And I watched it last week and I was like, what is that? Who is that person who has never seen a bottle of lotion in his life? But looking all right today.
You look good.
Got a
good glow. I, on the other hand, realize I can't use a ring light because I'm so pale that like on any setting, it just looks, I just look like Mr. Burns when he gets his radioactive treatments and he's wandering through the woods and everybody thinks he's a ghost. And he's like, I bring you love.
Not saying you would ever do blackface, but if there was like a setting that just made you four shades darker, you turn it on.
There's a Jersey Shore setting, is what you're saying. If there was like a gym tan laundry setting, we can do that. Yeah.
I'm good. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. This is this is us now. I think that I'm doing all right. I'm a little antsy. I have shows at Helium this week, so I want to do a bunch of new material. So I'm a little antsy, so I might even hit up an open mic tonight. Who knows, Matt?
Oh, my goodness.
We'll see how we feel in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Ambitious right now, but in about 3 hours, I'll be like, I'll be all right.
Yeah.
I'll be all right.
I did have somebody text me, ask me if I was going to be doing the attic open mic this week. And I was like, to be really honest, I've been kind of like, you know, not feeling great, kind of like, you know, down and at, on my, you know, out like lately, like not mentally not doing the best, little sads. I got the sads is what it is.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like, I do not know if doing an open mic would fix that or make it way worse. So it's like, I don't know if I'm ready to take that crap shoot.
You're not doing the worst. You're saying there's room to fall.
There's room. Definitely room. Yeah. It's not like, again. Yeah. People don't need to write in. Again, every time I express any sort of like real human emotion on here, people are like, oh my God, are you going to kill me? No, I'm just saying that I've had the sads lately, you know? And, I like your ambition. You're saying you might actually go do one. That's
because I'm not
every single mic. I'm like, I guess I'll go do one.
Well, you do more mics than I do. I feel like because you go to the attic one and I just don't have one of quality like that here in Indianapolis. So I feel like you can go and hop on a mic that's going to be around 90 minutes and not 3.5 hours long.
And there's like, going to be an audience there. It's going to be more like hopping on a show.
Right.
For sure. Yeah.
Right. And I'm like, so I still have the guilt of like going to a mic and leaving early, no matter how long the show is. Which I might be, you know, just the last beacon of integrity that I have in this thing is that I try to support the shows that I'm on. But if I don't go, I don't have to support anybody. I don't have to get further in the wheel of sadness.
Yeah,
I didn't support anybody, not even myself. So
No, there is a thing too. I mean, obviously, it's harder to do it when it is like a 3 hour long mic or whatever. But if a mic is within a reasonable time, I like to stay anyway, just because it's like I'm already out. I already came out. I already got pants on. I already drove downtown and parked. You know, it's like, I might as well. But again, that's a very different thing to saying, oh, I hung out for an extra 20 or 30 minutes as opposed to I hung out for another hour and 15. Sure. That's a sure. big difference for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes sense, man. I also had people come up to me at shows that I was on last week and comment on the production aspect of producing a special or an album that we talked about last week. So thanks to everyone who listened. I hope that was helpful. And I'd love to hear your progress or stories about that, because shit is frustrating, man, not having your stuff. And I know that you are like very diligent right now about filming everything, trying to get a perfect set together to get submissions and stuff like that. So it all coalesces. Is that part of the reason you have the sads? Is because you...
It could be because like I have not been doing a lot of new material, because I've, you know, like when I was just down in Atlanta, like I talked about last week, I those sets, I was just kind of doing what I thought would be good submission sets. I played around a lot more in Memphis because it was a longer set, and also like I just thought the room isn't as perfect, so it almost takes the pressure off, you know. Yeah, that could be part of it. Is I did free write today for the first time in a long time. I sat down and did 30 minutes of journaling or free writing or whatever. Ooh, man, does people think they'd be concerned if they heard the random comment that I make here?
It all comes out.
Jesus, like, it's not great. No, it's not like I'm naming names or whatever. It's just a lot of like, you know, this is like the overall thing that I'm dealing with right now is, you know, it just kind of feels like, am I on the downward spiral? Like, I'm 50 years old, you know, like I don't have as much gas in the tank to like, just like, I'm going to push through and just fucking keep, you know, it's just like, is it time for me to wrap it up? Is it time to get out of the way? Let some young dogs come up, you know? And really that's the only thing that's keeping me in it is the spite to keep the young people out of these spots. I'm like, how dare you? No. No, but seriously, that's the thing I'm running into is like, is my age and my energy level to just keep pushing. And it's like, so that's just kind of everything. And so I am being diligent, but and then I did not tape the show that I had, which I, of course, then smashed. I had a great set hosting my comedy class graduation show, which is usually not the case. Usually I'm up first, I do okay, but I'm the host. I'm just there to get people laughing. Like, no one's there to see me. But I strangely had one where I just destroyed.
Oh my God. And
I had my camera with me, but when I got there, it's just because it wasn't exactly ideal to set it up, because they had actually messed up. The box office had sold too many tickets. Sold, it's a free show, but you had to claim your tickets. So we actually had to add another row or two in of folding chairs. And that also meant like the sort of like the area where I was going to put a camera, people were going to be sitting. And so I just didn't do it. But I think the trying to chase and get a perfect tape is kind of been contributing to the sads for sure.
Yeah.
Because definitely. I still have not got one that I'm happy with. I've gone ahead and submitted to things that the deadlines are coming up.
Yeah.
And submitted to some festivals that I've always wanted to do with a set that I think is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think that I'm pretty objective about this. If anything, I'm more hard on myself than anything. Like, you and I, you know, we see these submissions that come into the limestone before they go into the review panel. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we definitely know, like, it's a great tape. And what a lot of other people think is a perfectly acceptable tape that is just bonkers.
Yeah.
Like how bad it is, just from like technical levels or whatever. So I know I'm not in that group. I know that I'm not in that group.
Right.
I'm objective enough.
You're not
that
wasting
I know
people's time.
Yes. Yeah, but I don't have one that's just like as that I feel like completely like, yep, this is my best foot forward. Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, that could be it. But I also don't want to spend the rest of my life trying to chase, trying to get a good tape. So.
This is, you didn't tape at the graduation show, and this is
I did not.
This is a serious question, but do you think it's ethical to bury your students at a graduation show?
Yeah,
for them?
I mean, annihilate.
I was going for the first comic,
the Dwight Simmons role. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I know how you do it. You're like, look, this is your final lesson.
You came in here with a smile on your face, and you're all confident, and your family's here. So I'm gonna show you what's what.
I'm gonna embarrass you in front of your family. No. No, I wasn't trying to do it because I was, again, mostly running the stuff that I had ran.
Yeah.
And I, there's a second joke in the set that is too dirty for dry bar. It's just where I do another joke about low, like I say the phrase low T in the opening joke, and then, which is just about getting older. But I actually then have a joke about low T commercials, which is, but I went in through that one in, and it's fun. And no, I mean, it was, the comic who went up after me, the graduate who went up after me had a great set. They all did fine. I did want to talk about this. Actually, there was an interesting thing, and I was texting with somebody about this, and I can't remember now who it was. So my apologies, but I had two people who took the class this time who have been open micing, right? They've been open micing. They're both within like a year or two just doing it, but they're looking to improve themselves and get better. And one of those did not have a very good set at the graduation show. They had probably the worst set of anyone. And I think the reason why is because they have experienced bad mics before. They've experienced bad shows before. And so they just didn't go out there with the confidence. Like the brand newbies don't know what that feels like to do bad.
Yeah.
Whereas in once you've ate shit at a couple of shows, that's in there, you know, and it reminded me of something that I definitely went through and a lot of people do, which is we get worse before we get better. Mm-hmm. We usually start off with like a sort of like energy and enthusiasm that carries the day. Even if the jokes aren't great, there's a sort of like, we're excited and everybody's there. And that's definitely the case for a lot of the students that were first timers. You know, they worked hard all month long writing the jokes and getting the jokes as good as they could be. But just it was their friends and family, but also just that sort of naivety on stage kind of almost works, you know? And I think this comic, again, the jokes were fine. You know, the jokes were fine. They put in the work. They were a little bit more of an absurdist type comic, so maybe it didn't quite connect with everybody. But they clearly had the least response from the crowd, and I could just see it because they weren't confident. They were just kind of half throwing the jokes out there. And it just reminded me, like, oh, I remember that being the case for me. Like, I started off, like, I had a great first time, and and then, man, I just ate shit for a long time.
Yeah, and then it's because that sticks with you. And then you're like, all right, how do I get over that? And it takes a minute. But that's a bummer to hear because it sounds like this person is very interested, at least in pursuing open miking or like joke telling. So that's a bummer to hear because, you know, it's set up for success. It's a sold out show. And I think, unfortunately, those ones that hurt the most are the ones that make you better.
Of course. Yeah. No, of course. Like, you don't learn anything from a great show. You don't learn a single thing.
Yeah.
So,
outside you the shit. Yeah. Outside of you the shit, and I should have taped.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, like, there is tape. Like, they actually do have a camera in that room that they tape all the sets and then send it to everybody. And the thing is, it's just kind of far away.
Yeah.
Which, if I recall, I've usually never had a good enough set that I've even looked at mine. They'll send it to everybody. They clip everybody's up and then they drop box it to everybody. And I've always just been like, it's fine. I don't need that one. Yeah. Right. Because it's like you're in a black box theater. It's just like everything about it's just not as ideal as taping at the attic or a club or somewhere.
Sure.
And so this year we'll see, you know, but I'm sure because it's me, they're like, oh, the camera wasn't working on yours. We didn't get the. Or I'm going to be out of focus the whole time. Man.
Yeah, we were setting up the ring light and we couldn't get your hue right.
Yeah, exactly.
You're several different colors in this video.
Yeah, I'll take it. But so anyway, that was my one show I had this week. So I'm actually done with the class for a little bit, which is nice. I don't have to drive to Carmel once a week and, you know.
Yeah,
which is nice because it's a bit of a haul. But what about you? What was the show that you had?
I did a variety show. I did a variety improv show. As it was Jonathan Findler, who's a very eccentric, unique improviser and stand-up comic in Indianapolis. Super funny. He had a themed show called Friends of P. I went as a character that was called the Dap King. The theme was business handshakes.
Okay. That was the theme of the show?
Business handshakes. When I say eccentric and this man has a mind of his own, this is exactly what I'm talking about. So an hour and a half show just about handshakes.
Okay.
And Connor Dillahunty was on it. Very funny. I did the Dap King, how to make handshakes cool. I went with business handshakes.
Business
handshake. Had my sideways hat on, the glasses. It's, you know what's funny?
Now, when you're creating a character like that, who are you pulling from? Who are the inspirations?
It's just every episode of The Wire I've ever seen.
Okay.
Those corner boys, man. Those corner boys. They know how to get to business.
Yeah.
It is funny just to be on stage and not have to in a different capacity. I always feel like more energized after those shows. Maybe because the stakes are so low and you know, the audience is so forgiving if you flub words because you're just up there being a goofball. So I kind of had a thing last week that you were talking about where it felt like I hate everything. And like before going on this roller coaster of finally having a really strong show of like, I'm at the point where I hate all my material. My new stuff isn't strong enough to carry a show. And so it's just like, it was a nice escapism before getting back to the grind because I'm really excited about the material I'm working on. It's not there yet. So yeah. I need time to either flesh it out more or just find the excitement or find ways to make my older material that will carry the show more exciting to me. Because I'm like, if I got to tell this joke one more time, everybody's going to die.
Yeah. I am very fortunate in the fact that I don't think I'm in that space. I'm definitely getting tired and frustrated at trying to capture this specific set. But in general, my shows have been pretty decent of late, knock on table. And I don't say that I'm hating this material yet. There's definitely stuff I need to retire and get off of it and get new stuff in. But I was thinking since our episode last week, I was really thinking about this, you know, what we talked about. It was like, should I be trying to write more ambitiously, you know, as far as topics and things like that? And I don't know, I'm going to try and swing for that because I think it's more interesting. And I think it's probably easy to be excited about that kind of stuff than yet another joke about getting old. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I love the jokes that I've written about turning 50. I think that I have not ever heard an older comic talk about it in the way that I'm talking about it, which is, you know, the goal, obviously, always to kind of like shared common human experience, but with your own unique spin on it. So when I was free writing today, I was really trying to think about larger themes, topics, and things like that. And I hate to say it, I'm 2 weeks in a row now, I'm not able to make Gaza funny. I'm sorry, everybody. I know I'm failing you all.
We need a hero, okay? Yep. We're Bonnie Tyler.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We're in need of a hero, and you just won't come through for us.
Yeah, I just can't get it there, man. But... yeah, I feel you for sure. I've definitely been in those spots where it's time. And we've both done this long enough that you have faith that it'll come. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll have the breakthroughs and you'll have the movement and stuff. But, you know, what is that author from New York that Martin Scorsese's made a couple documentaries about?
Still alive?
Yeah, she's still alive. She's basically hasn't written a book in forever. She's just kind of it's not Annie Leibovitz. That's the photographer. I can't remember this lady's name, sorry. Not enough coffee today. But you know, you don't want to wind up like her, because the reason she does all these speaking dates and is basically just a social commentator is because she's had like writer's block for like 20 years now.
Right.
20 years of writer's block.
Yeah.
And I was just like, because a random clip of her came up on my TikTok or whatever, and she's entertaining. She's a cranky New York Jewish lady, like, you know, and very unapologetic, and like, so she makes great, she makes a great guest for a, you know, an interview, right?
Right.
And so, and she was friends with like Andy Warhol and all those people, so she has the stories stuff too. But she, you know, at what point do we keep calling her an author? You know what I'm saying? I mean, former author, now just this is what she is.
You're mad at her bio.
No, but she's very open about it, because she's like, the reason she does so many of these speaking engagements is because she has to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And she's not written a new book in 20 plus years. And so it's just like, but I just feel like that as comedians, like at what point, or when we're still doing the same set.
Like, yeah, you should be retired.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, am I still a comedian or am I a tribute act to myself, to my younger self? Is that what's going on here?
That's why we all should die young, like Tupac and Biggie. Mm-hmm. And then you're just considered the greatest because you didn't take a 10-year break in between. You know what I mean? Like, if Kanye would have died after College Dropout, it would have been like, that's the best rapper that we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then he kept going. And now look at him.
Yep.
Wearing
long
ski
enough
mask.
To become the villain. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's, man.
It's sad. It's sad. I don't know. I feel like I'm just congested. Like, I'm very excited, like I said, about working through this material. It just feels like every show is like I'm headlining Helium this weekend, and I'm gonna go for it. I'm gonna see what happens. It's just two shows, so I'm gonna see if I can structure 30 minutes of new stuff and get the confidence. I think that's the best course of action, rather than trying to. You can only protect the material so long before you're like, all right, I've gotta.
Oh yeah. Introduce you gotta it. Do it. Yeah.
So this is the weekend, so I'm definitely gonna buckle down and be on the pen to paper this weekend or this week, which makes me nervous about going to do these mics. Like, shit, are there specific things that I want to work on? It has to be intentional, or else it's just gonna be more brain noise. You know what I mean?
No, I agree, and I think being intentional when you go to an open mic should be rule number one for everyone, no matter where you are in this. Like, even if you're relatively new, if you're like a year or two in, if you're getting up there and just doing the same 5 minutes that you already know works to a certain extent, and you haven't made any changes to it, then you're just clogging up the open mic. You know, it's like, if you don't go to an open mic to specifically work on something, or okay, I got to dust the cobwebs off, it's been a couple of weeks since I've been up. That's a legitimate use of an open mic. Just kind of get, okay, let me get my rhythm back real quick.
100%.
But yeah, people that just do the open mic every single week to do the open mic and with no real purpose or attention to why they're there, that, like, you're not going to grow, you know?
They want friends. They want friends, Matt. That can be my objective. I want to make a new friend today. So I'm going to go make awkward small talk before they have to go on stage. Let's see how I do.
Yep. And then
make so many friends that way.
And then avoid eye contact when they come off the stage.
Oh, maybe I don't want to be friends with that person. That was,
you
are different up there. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I plugged my Helium dates. What do you got coming up?
I'll be in Chicago this weekend. I'm only doing two shows. This is also a thing, and this is I've gotten really bad about this, and I need to get better, but I had not followed up. The Thursday show is going to be headlining the House of Blues up there. I booked that 6 months ago or something like that.
You said last week you got to follow up.
Yeah, and so when I follow up, they're like, oh, we fucked up. We double booked it. I was like, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. I'm fine not going to Chicago on a Thursday. I can just go Friday and Saturday. It's fine. Mm-hmm. They're very apologetic, you know, because I'm also like of the mindset is like, well, we did talk about it. It wasn't like a phone conversation. It's all in writing through our DMs, which is the only way that you booked me before.
Right.
Like, I'm assuming you're then going, when you say yes, it's this amount of time and this much money on this date. And I was like, yep, sounds good, that you are then writing that down somewhere in a calendar. But that didn't happen, and that's fine. They get a shit ton of emails and messages and stuff, so I get it. So I will only be in Chicago Friday and Saturday. Friday is the big one. I'm doing the main stage at Lincoln Lodge on Friday, March 8th, the 8 p.m. show. Tickets for that are on sale right now and on the website. And then I'm doing a little guesty set the next night, also at the Lincoln Lodge, on the show called Primetime. It's one of the independent producer shows happening there. Not sure if that's in the tiny room or in the medium-sized room, but either way, we'll have a good time. But yeah, that's the shows that I have coming up. But everybody, please go see Dwight. He's going to be flying without a net, 30 brand new minutes. He's going to be doing some crowd work to get some reels. He's going
to
be...
Yep, just to survive. That's, crowd work used to be, I don't have the time, so I'm going to ask everybody what they do for a living.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then we'll see. We'll turn it into reels. We'll get the followers up. And then we'll feed into the cycle of not being able to fill the time with material.
There it is.
After you get all these headline dates. So,
but yeah, those are our dates. That's what we, where we were and where we're going to be. A lot of comedy drama happening. Big news drop today. But before we get to that, we did have a question of the week. I don't want to put it off because it's been a few weeks since we've had a question sent in. If you would like to keep us going and we don't have such a long dry spell, you can always send us a message at mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. You can send us any comedy questions or topics that you want us to talk about on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you. This week we heard from John Handcuff, Bloomington comedian extraordinaire. John Handcuff has sent in a few messages before, and we always appreciate it when the regulars come up with new things they want to talk about. Appreciate that very much, John. Mm-hmm. Here is John's email. It starts with "Hey," which is of course his trademark. Okay. And then he says "Kings," which I'm assuming is referencing my shitting on Shane Gillis' fans. So thank you for that, John. "Still digging the podcast and looking forward to every new episode. Sometimes I will wait a couple of days to listen, saving it as a little treat for myself." Okay. Thank you. It's nice that you have that set up for yourself.
The email just ends.
Yeah.
He's just done. Oh, that was a good nugget, John.
Thank you. Yeah. "Anyways, my questions are about being asked to do benefit shows. Obviously, it has to be for a cause you are comfortable supporting, but what other considerations are there for you two when it comes to performing on benefit shows, including pay? Thanks, John Handcuff. P.S. I'm featuring for Josh Gondelman at the Comedy Attic March 29th through the 30th. Yeah, this is another thing. If you want to plug your dates on our podcast, you can do it. You just have to send us a question and then throw your dates in there.
Oh, love it. I am a big fan of what just happened. We'll put it in the show notes.
Always be hustling. Always be grinding.
Just put John's link tree in the show notes.
Yeah.
This is something that I've dealt with in the last year. It's I've done for free. I've done a benefit show for free, and I've also done one for too much money. Like, they paid me too much. So I think with a benefit show, it has to be something that you believe in. First and foremost, it's something that's legitimate and something that's going to be worth your time. Mm-hmm. I think with benefit shows and a lot of corporate shows, if you've been doing stand-up for a while, it's important that you take the lead on how the show is going to run. Because they don't know the nuances. They don't know that, hey, maybe you shouldn't serve dinner or have all the lights on during the big show. Right. Use that in quotes, but... and maybe have someone introduce me, let me bring like a guest set, something like that. If we want to do a real comedy show,
mm-hmm.
you're just doing a quick set, like 15 minutes as part of a night, then that stuff isn't necessary and you could probably just donate your time. But being upfront and asking, what's the pay? People should ask, people should tell you. If they don't tell you, ask. It's important. Don't leave that as just like a gray area. Ask what's the budget? Can you guys cover, you know, a lot of times they'll throw food and drinks at you. Mm-hmm. If you're traveling, they should at least put you up. I've done a couple of benefits where they don't pay, but they do, you know, put you up and they'll feed you. The money's always good, but like if you're doing, this is the way that you're donating your time, you're donating your, like, I don't have money to donate to causes. So if I can donate my time and my quote unquote skill set to something that I believe in, then I'm going to do it. And I'm never going to be like, no to the money. I might throw a couple bucks toward the cause. Mm-hmm. But if it's, you know, if it's something in my hometown, I'm probably just gonna do it. I'm doing one for the Kurt Vonnegut Museum and Library on the 16th. We're doing a small show at a board member's house, just gonna as like a fundraiser, because that's something that I want to get more involved in. So stuff like that, you know, just being upfront, being clear of what their expectations are. Benefit shows, it's also very important to be like, hey, what do you want? Content-wise, language restrictions, ask all this stuff. I think Jackie Cation a couple years ago put up a thing of things to ask if you're going to a corporate show or a benefit show. Very good resources, but it's like, it's kind of counterintuitive. But if you don't ask these things, if you don't know these things going in, the show is probably going to be bad. Like, is there going to be sound? Is there going to be food? What time? Do you really want me there? You don't need me there 3 hours in advance.
Right.
Do I have to hang out after? Like, if they're asking you to do all this stuff, you should probably be getting paid a little bit because that's extra time.
Yeah. If they want you to schmooze and be around and not just show up and do your thing. Yeah, for sure. That's additional cost. Yeah. It's been a minute since I've been on a benefit show. I mean, the Cardinal shows are all benefit shows, you know, but it's a little different because, you know, all of the ticket door goes towards a different charity every month. And then, but then Cardinal gives us a small budget to give to the performers, right. To pay the performers. And so it's still like, and so in a way, like basically Cardinal's really also making a big donation, you know, like, to this, to, you know, I'm sure they probably write it off, you know, the however much they spend on the talent, as a donation. Because they just handed me an envelope with cash and, you know, nobody knows what happened with it, you know? And so, which I just divvy up to the comics. And so, yeah, man, it's one of those things where you feel like, I definitely understand the feeling like, oh, they're trying to raise money. I shouldn't take money to perform. But again, it's like, it depends on what your personal situation is. But if you're like you and I, where this is our full-time job, you can't block out a Saturday night where you could be making money for some cause. I'll do a cause. I wouldn't even say that I have to really believe in the cause. I just can't be against the cause. It could be something I don't really have skin in the game about. Like if it's a fundraiser for XYZ and I don't really care about XYZ, but I can tell it's not, you know, I'm trying to think what would be a good example of that, but something that I just don't really have an opinion one way or the other, you know?
Yeah.
Like if it was, you know, for
the
this
parakeet auctioneer, what's the one in Muncie? He's like, it's for like ape research. But he pays. And I was like, I'm going to get canceled, but I don't care about ape research on my day to day. It was fun to learn about, but I went to, and, you know, like you said, I'm not against ape research.
Yeah, exactly. So that's the same thing. That would be the same thing. Like I would still go ahead and do it. Yeah, I think you covered it really, really well. Like, I mean, you need to cover all your bases and again, ask a lot of questions. But the worst thing, though, is then when they ask you, like, well, what's your fee? What do you charge? First of all, I hate it when anybody asks me that. It's no. Sucks. You come to me and say, we would like to have you come do comedy at our place. It pays this much.
Right.
Do you want to do it? Yes or no? Not the other way around.
Right.
And so... Yeah, I that's always so uncomfortable, particularly for Midwesterners. So like,
how do you handle that? Like, if you really want to do it, how do you handle it?
I ask, well, then I will ask, like, how many people are in attendance? That's a big thing as far as how I set my pricing. It's like, you know, what night of the week is it? Is it a weekend or is it a weeknight? You know, you're going to get me a lot cheaper on a weeknight when I wouldn't normally be working anyway. You know, how far away is it? You know, all that kind of stuff. I will, you know, if it's a big event, you know, if it's a big charitable event, like they've got money behind it. If they're having a charitable event with a couple hundred people in attendance, they have a budget. They can, you know, afford to give me a couple hundred dollars, you know, plus, you know, whatever, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I think you just, you know, you don't want to sell yourself short. Don't get caught up in the mindset of like, you know, oh, it's a charity, so you have to do it for free, or you have to take a loss on it. You know, again, if it was in town, if someone is having a charitable event in town on a Tuesday night, here, and I was like, and I have nothing else going on, and it's like going to literally cost me nothing besides my time to go over and do it, then yeah, I'd probably do it for free if I really like the charity or I like the people putting it on or whatever, you know. But yeah, so there's no real clear answer to that. I think it just really depends on what is the charity, how big is the event, you know, are they selling tickets,
right?
You know, it's just like, or is it donation only type thing? You know, so all of it, you have to take all that into consideration and then figure out what you price yourself at. Which is, I always hate that. I mean, you've been killing it on the corporates lately. Like you've been doing a ton of corporates. I have always struggled with doing corporates. I haven't really put myself out for corporates because of that pricing thing. Like if they fall in my lap, I can do them. And I'm, you know, again, not to sound cocky, the last couple of corporates I've done very well at. in very difficult situations. You know, one of them, there was no stage. I was literally just in this weird long shotgunny room with people. And I had to basically work the room, literally work the room, walk around and do my 30 minutes like that. And it was at midnight. It was an after event. It was like after they'd been drinking for 4 hours and stuff. Like it was challenging. It was a challenging event, but I got through it. And, but I mean, how do you like, are you on Gig Salad or Gig Masters? Or are you just hustling these yourselves? Like, how are you?
Yeah, I was on, yeah, it's whatever it's called now. It's like the Bash, but it's the same thing.
Okay. I didn't even know it was called something else now.
Yeah. But
that's like, how long it's been since I've been on it.
They send you a form. They send you what the event is, how many attendees, whether it's PG, PG-13, rated R, and then a light description of the events. And then you choose the quote and the deposit. Really, the ones that I've done lately have been through just the happenstance of people reaching out and saying, hey, this doesn't like anything that's PG-13 or like PG, I typically will not do because I'm not that comic.
Yeah.
I won't even put a quote in for it. But a lot of the ones lately have just been, hey, can you come do this country club? It doesn't have to be country club clean. Have fun with them. So really, if you can do that and like connect it to another show, a lot of these are like during the week, like a Wednesday or Thursday. So if I can connect it to my weekend, then I can probably charge less and just make sure that I get the thing. But
yeah, because you're also bidding against other comics. And so there's that thing of like, if you bid too high, you're not going to get it. Like it's a whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. You've been doing these country club gigs. Maybe you are more of a Drake. I don't know. Maybe.
That's
you got that versatility, man. You can do both.
I can sing. I can rap. I can act in a wheelchair. Tell me what you want. that's a good transition into, you know, what comedy club pricing is versus independent show pricing versus trying to do corporate shows. You're going to be able to charge more for corporate.
Yeah, the corporate show that I was talking about was a very weird setup. It was like for Old National Bank. So you're talking about like one of the biggest bank chains in the Midwest. And so I thought I was coming in low. And it wasn't through a Gig Salad thing. It was through like they approached somebody. They're based out of Evansville. And they approached somebody in Evansville that they knows about comedy.
Yeah.
And he was like, I do not have that skill set. Like, I'm not the comic you want. But he's like, but this guy can do it. And so I think I just said like $1,000, which I was like, oh, I'm giving him a cheap quote. And they still like got me down a little bit. Like, they were sure like, they were like, well, we already got a hotel room for you. And I was like, I don't need a hotel room.
Right.
I was like, we already have one. And, you know, so will you take $750? And I was like, all right, I didn't want to fight about it. Because I also was able to double dip because it was so late. I actually just did a normal ticketed show, which sold out at Arcademy Bar earlier that night. So I was like, all right, I'm already winning. I'm already double dipping on this. But it's like still at the end of the day, it's just like your old national bank on your fifth is like, this is the after party for your 50th anniversary gala thing. Like y'all could open those purse strings a little bit more.
That's a thing with being in control of these. Because if someone's like, hey, what's your fee? They're not going to know how to run the show. So, hey, will there be a microphone for me? There's a question to ask. Will it be a PA? Will there be someone to bring me up? Will there be an actual host? Are there any announcements you want me to make at the end to close the show? Like, the things you don't think about asking about, like at a normal comedy club, you probably should ask just to cover your bases, because it is like, especially on those sites, people can like rate and review you or like do that, or go to your Facebook page and do that. And that does help. We talk about that all the time with bookers of stand-up comedy in general. It's like, this is why you want to be a decent human being that shows up on time and does a good job, because it is a small knit community and people are going to talk. Treat it the same way.
Yeah. And I even, for the first time ever, I don't know why this never occurred to me before, but at the conclusion of this class, this time, the intro to stand-up comedy class that I did in Carmel, it's in Carmel. It's, you know, mm-hmm. not everyone who takes the class is wealthy, but every single time I teach it, there's a CEO or two in the mix.
For sure.
You know, or a marketing director or somebody who does something. And mm-hmm. so when I sent everybody an email, after the graduation show, I was like, hey, you all did a great job. Just, you know, want to let you know that you all showed up. You did the work, you know, I hope you had fun, blah, blah. And then I was just like, and also it was like, I'm available for corporate or private events. If your company needs anything, like hit me up.
It's
just
great.
This little, like, you know,
yep.
which hopefully that'll pay dividends. Who knows? You know, like, did I feel a little dirty doing it a little bit, but not too bad. It wasn't too bad. I'm comfortable with this amount of grime. I can do this grinding. It's all
you
right.
Get in the mud. You get in the mud and you do it, Matt.
Yeah.
You get dirty. This whole damn industry is dirt.
That's true. That's true, man. Hey, speaking of the industry, that does bring up the big bombshell news that dropped today. Yes.
Thank you, John. Appreciate your question,
thank you, John,
baby.
For the question. Appreciate it. Hopefully we answered. We really just kind of said you're on your own with this, but, you know, hopefully
that gives
you some things. Yeah. Thanks for taking 20 minutes up of the podcast. We needed that time filler. We appreciate it. Good luck with your shows with Josh Gondelman, which is the real reason you emailed anyway. So.
Right.
But the big bombshell news that dropped today is that Just for Laughs is canceling the 2024 festival. The largest comedy festival in the world mm-hmm. is canceling, and they're going to have to restructure. And I think probably the best thing to do is I'm just going to read the news article that's here on the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's website, coming straight from Montreal, just like earlier today, a couple hours ago, this dropped. The Montreal company that operates the Just for Laughs Comedy Festival has canceled the 2024 edition of the event after filing a notice of intention to make a proposal to creditors, a formal process under Canada's Bankruptcy and Insolvency Act.
Ooh-y.
Yeah, 75 people were laid off Tuesday morning, according to a festival spokesperson who called the company's financial situation unsustainable. Well, let's start right there. Like,
oh my God.
I understand it's a huge festival, but 75 full-time employees, and that's just the ones they laid off.
Seems like
a lot for an event production company that does what, 3 festivals a year, right? They've got the main one in Montreal, they've got Vancouver, and then they would have maybe a Toronto one.
Yeah, but don't they do other shows throughout the year?
Oh, do they? Okay.
I think so.
That makes more sense. But it still strikes me as like a huge amount of a workforce for event production for full-time employees. Like, why you wouldn't just be using, like, you would farm that shit out, you know, like when the actual events are happening. But anyway, the company cited lost revenues during 2 years of the global pandemic and challenges facing the media industry, particularly reduced budgets at networks and streaming platforms as reasons for restructuring. Oh, I wonder, did they lose their
one, two,
so they three. Must have lost. They must have lost. They must have lost a deal with somebody for streaming, like an exclusive deal. In a news release on Tuesday, JPR, which is the French version that's the parent company, said it plans to maintain JPR's operations, albeit in a scaled-down format, as organizers restructure the event. Once the restructuring is completed, we hope that the festival will take place in 2025. The statement reads,
wow.
Holders can get refunds. Da, 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 da.
This is nuts.
Yeah. Montreal Mayor Valerie Plante said she will be asking workers at the city of Montreal to contact JFL and assess its plans for a flagship event of Montreal's cultural scene. We will miss the Just for Last Festival this summer, Plante said on X, formerly known as Twitter. Comedy is an integral part of our culture, and we will continue to support it. So, yeah, it's because it really, you know, it's the big one. It's literally.
It is.
And it sounds like maybe the problem is that they had grown too big and were no longer sustainable, you know?
There is the point of no return where you're just like, it seemed like every year they were adding more and more shows. Mm-hmm. Like, they just, on their website, they have one in London, Sydney, Toronto, Vancouver, obviously Montreal. They're part of Moon Tower in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
They got the Comedy Pro off JFL and
The amount of shows that they're producing is
outrageous. So I don't, to just drop this is probably, I don't know. It was like, there was no sign of them slowing down.
I wonder also if it's just the Montreal one that's canceled though, because all the news reporting it is all Canadian / Montreal related stuff.
Well, it says so they're looking for protection. They're like bankruptcy,
financial protection. Yeah. So they're filing bankruptcy. Yeah.
So maybe this is just like the first shoe to drop, hopefully. Yeah. But like, if they don't get that, then it will continue to snowball. Mm-hmm. It has to. Like, you know how much it costs to bring these names to do one or two shows.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and they have, you know, they have several weeks of that caliber, if not higher.
Oh, and higher. Like, yeah, I mean, they have their talent costs easily $1 million.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, if they're probably bringing in, I was going to say just talent, not even getting into production, for the fact that their festival runs as long as it is, and they're bringing in people like Kevin Hart or Jay Leno, or just, I'm trying to think, what are the biggest names that I've seen NFL in the last couple of years?
It's
like those people are, you know, $100,000. That's a bargain. If you get Jay Leno for $100,000, you got him for a bargain. So they're probably, you know, it's probably $250,000, you know, or more, $500,000 per performer.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Or a bunch of the top tier ones. And then you got everybody else. You got a bunch of club headliners who come in that are going to be, you know, several grand each. So yeah, I mean, the expense behind it's crazy. And it's, man, like it's definitely interesting. And I guess my question to you is, like, how does it feel being the co-director of the new JFL? How does that feel? Like, now that Limestone is king, now that we're it, baby, we're the most important, you know, somebody just the other day trying to like be nice to me was saying that Limestone's like the Midwest JFL. And I'm like, now I think they cursed us. Now,
what are you doing? Shit,
we're going to have to file for bankruptcy now. Did you already know about that when you said that to me?
Not that many people talk shit about Limestone until we become JFL.
Yeah.
But just before we got on here is when I saw it, and just scrolling quickly on X, it's like 8 comics are like, well, they got shitty things to say about this festival because they've never done it.
Of course, like, well, I knew it was going to fail when they passed on me because I'm a genius.
You know what did them in is booking Matt Rife and not booking me. Well, what's nuts is I was about to send in, we're talking about clips. Like, I was about to send in
an
unrepped clip. There was a producer, there was a booker for JFL at Flyover Festival, and I was just about to follow up, send her a clip, and I think I'm gonna wait a year or two. We'll see,
dude. You might want to, like,
it probably gets bounced. Return to sender.
Yeah, they didn't pay their server fees or whatever.
Yeah. Always the thing. It's like, you get an in at a place, and you get like you spend the time to have a conversation, you hit it off, and then the next day that person's gone.
Yeah,
they that's get what fired. Comedy like, is. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, man. The amount of times I've had to start over with a venue, with like just a club,
because
I was in with the person, and I'll be like, you start off with a new person, like, well, I've headlined your club several times in the last 10 years. I would love to come host. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, how do I get on this email chain you sent to all of the comics that have performed in your damn set of clubs for the last 5 years? It's so frustrating because it's like, it's such a goal that you build. Mm-hmm. It could be getting booked for this or getting booked at just a club on the road, but it's just another part of why this shit is so frustrating.
Yeah.
A relationship business where it is highly volatile with the amount of turnover.
Yeah. I mean, I luckily had given up on JFL a long time ago when this is pre-cancellation. Jeff Singer just told me, he's like, I don't think New Faces is going to happen for you. It's like you submitted a couple times and you've not gotten it. He's like, it doesn't mean you won't come to JFL in some other context in the future.
Yeah.
But realistically, as a non-rep person, that's the only way you're going to go, you know?
Right.
And so, And so, like, I had long ago written that off. Even that thing went around, like, oh, they're taking open submissions. They published the thing. Like, here's, I was like, I'm not going to send anything in. Like, I know I'm not going to get it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I need to find that X thread so I can jump in there and talk shit. No, if anyone out there is thinking about doing it or you have done that, you're dumb because, like, what happens when they restructure and then they're back next year?
Say it all the time. Like, say it all the time, dude. Don't do this. Don't. Yep. It's not worth the 8 likes.
Yeah. If you don't think that they're not screen grabbing every single comic who shit talks them in this moment of, you know, all vulnerability.
All those laid off people have the ability to go start something else that you probably will want to do in the future.
100%.
These are top of the top industry people that they're not going away. They're going to find other things. Or they're going to, you know, join again in a different capacity. Yeah. This is such a dumb thing. Like, and it's friends of mine. It's just like, it's not worth the strife to not get something and then pile on when people lose their jobs. Like, that's nuts to me.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. Absolutely. Like, well, I mean, it is huge. It's big ripples, and it'd be interesting to see how that plays out. But
I should probably post that Limestone submissions are open for another couple of days. Get that last search. Hey, not posting this for any particular reason, but
yeah, we've decided to go ahead and extend submissions. I saw something, man, I can't remember now which festival it was, but I saw some festival, like, their submissions were open for like 6 months. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I think it's flyover.
Like, it's just like, man, that you really want to watch clips for 6 months? You and your panel want to spend 6 months on this?
It's nuts.
Like,
I don't know if it's because they also take improv and sketch, like they have that. So,
and it takes that long to find a good improv group. Just kidding. I've seen some good improv. I've seen good improv. I've
no,
seen
he hasn't. Nope.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. I've seen good improv.
Prove it. No, that's funny. That's funny. No, this is no. I was really. That was one of the things that I was going to submit to. Also, it's like a different tape, but also wanted to submit to some late night stuff as well.
Oh, yeah.
Again this year. So hopefully those don't all go bankrupt. It'd be funny. Like, I finally got the perfect tape. And Alan's like, hey man, shouldn't have had Trump on.
No, it's like, it's like, you know, the fine that we got for busking in the New York City subway with Green Day was more than we thought it was gonna be. And so we've had to like cancel the Tonight Show. Sorry.
Alex Price had a good one. He goes, how did the World Series of Comedy outlast Just for Laughs, which is very good.
It is very, very good. Very good. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Oh my God. The World Series of Comedy. Okay. Yeah. And then somewhere in between those two is Limes.
Yeah. God. The wide sea of comedy festivals is outrageous. Hey, do some research. Ask people questions. Hey, have you guys done this festival? Do you guys know the people running it? Do they seem trustworthy? Would you recommend going to the city? What are the benefits? Just ask some questions.
But yeah, that's the big drama. You got anything else? Anything else happening that you've heard about or that you know about that you want to talk about?
No. Pretty quiet week outside of this thing just happening today. But no drama. We went pretty hard last episode.
Yeah, it's true. So, it's true.
A lot, we got to save
happening.
Up.
A lot happening these next couple weeks. Yeah.
We got to save up.
Well, I mean, I along with everybody else, am excited to hear about how your shows go this weekend. You know, trying to do that much new material and really kind of hammer it out is definitely ambitious. I will not be doing any of that. I'm going to be a coward. I'm just going to be playing the hits.
Chicago, baby. That's what Chicago's a great city to play the hits.
Yeah, exactly. Particularly in shows that I've never done before. You know, like I a lot more loose when I'm up there doing like Michael Myers show that I've done a couple of times and I love know him show. And it's like, ah, it's gonna be fun, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think that does it for this episode of the podcast, unless you can think of anything else you want to talk about.
Nah, man. Only for Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, our fictional Patreon that we might launch one day. Well, thank you, everybody, for checking out this episode of the podcast. As always, if you want to rate, review, that would be really cool of you. You know, love it if we get some new listeners, along with our old faithful listeners. We appreciate you guys very much for being with us since episode one, or whenever you jumped in on the Matt and Dwight journey. Also, I would just say album recommendation. I was already talking about Yasiin Bey earlier. The reason why is right before we taped this, I was listening to The Ecstatic, which is maybe one of his best albums ever. Definitely post name change, one of his best albums ever.
Right.
So everybody go listen to it. You can actually listen to it on YouTube. It's kind of hard to find on some streaming services, but it is there. So yeah. What's your album recommendation for people? We don't do this every episode, but we got a little minute or two.
Ooh, I think I'm going with Streams of Thought, Volume 1. That is a Black Thought. Shocker! But whenever I need a little boost of motivation, I like a lyrically fueled EP. And there ain't no hooks or nothing on this. It's just 8 songs and just all spitting hot bars. So that's hopefully what is going to fuel me during my sets in Helium. But we will see. I'll let you know next week.
Sounds good. Until next week, shore up those assets, you know, talk to your creditors.